Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here. I can't go tell you. Well, I'll see some of you Tuesday night because I got a preach Tuesday night here. So. Those of you not have a happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see when you get back. Y'all going anywhere? All mine's leaving, going somewhere, so I think I'm just going to go hunting. Get in the woods. Hunt some deers. Can't hunt no turkey, so I'm going to hunt the deer.
Whatever makes you happy.
Whatever makes you happy.
You
cheering coming or not?
No, they're doing a turn
on
so.
So y'all done? Y'all did it yesterday or?
No, we ain't gonna do it.
Today?
Well, today.
That's today?
Yeah, they haven't really.
Right.
So. Okay. And you know what? That's all right. It could be easy.
Yeah.
Anyway, they came and went to the ball game. That's why they were here, because they went to the ball game yesterday.
What ball game? Georgia? Did they? Okay.
They won, didn't
they? Yeah.
By like
a little bit. 66-27, I think it was. Yeah. They played the B team, and people out of the stands were like a quarter. Yeah. All right. So let's get started here. So we were on Romans 10. By the way, hello.
Howdy.
Yes. But let's go back up to verse 17 and kind of lap over and see what, because we got to pick this up. Yeah, it's on. What Paul has told us, and then when we start the next chapter, it'll kind of be a lap over back to what we're talking about. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, remember it's in the hearing. Not in the speaking, it's in the hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Okay? But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Talk about Egypt. But Isaiah, or Isaiah, says, is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Now, what's he talking about here? I was found by them that sought me not. Gentiles. Paul's saying that God, because remember back up here, we were talking about not all Israel is Israel. And then he's returning. I'm reading in the book of Acts. Now I'm going back through the New Testament, reading the book of Acts. Where Paul says, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Why? Because Israel, he was preaching in Jerusalem, and they were stoning him, throwing him out, going to kill him. So he said, I'm going to the Gentiles. All right, which is what he was supposed to do anyway.
Right.
Remember, Peter opened the door, but right. Paul went in and did the preaching. Peter opened the door, but Paul went in and did the preaching. Because, see, Peter had the keys of the kingdom. Yeah. He could unlock, and he unlocked the door to the Gentile. But Paul went on in to preach to the Gentiles. All right? And I guess inside of himself that really hurt him because he was a Jew. But he knew he had persecuted the Jews. He was accused of a lot, you know, making them blaspheme, putting them to death, and all those things. He was praying and hoping that his people, the Gentiles, would come on in. I mean, the Jews would come on in. But then he keeps seeing the door being closed again by the Jews, so the Gentiles... I was found of them that sought me not, the Gentiles. Gentiles didn't care about God. They had no promise.
That's right.
The Jews had a promise all the way back. He's talking about Moses. But that what? It wasn't to them. It was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Israel turned them down, went whoring. God had to what? God had to divorce her, put her away, so he could marry a Gentile bride. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Like I said, nobody knew, even a third of the people knew who Jesus was. And then the Jews knew who he was, but never really knew who he was.
That's right.
Right? But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. God knew that. But he's long-suffering. He has grace. Mm-hmm. He knew what was going to happen. That's what I was thinking the other day with heading down the road. Bob and Donnie were asleep, so I was thinking a little bit. So I was thinking while I was driving. But you know, that's... God knew every bit of this. Why did he just stop it and wipe it off? No, he had to let the plan of God go the way he saw it go, because he wouldn't be God. Then, if God didn't that way, then he wouldn't be God. He'd be a dictator. He'd say, this is what it's going to be. That's why I believe in predestination the way I do, with foreknowledge. And you have something to do with it. You have actually everything to do with it. Okay?
Yes.
All day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now he's talking about who here? Gentiles. He's talking about the Jews here. Israel. All day long I've stretched forth my hand. So now watch. I say then, this is Paul in chapter 11. He's continuing his thought. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Now, what's Paul saying? He hasn't totally forsaken the Jews. He's always going to have them there. They're always going to be his people. He can't. Let's just put it this way. God can divorce Israel for whoring against him, put her away, but she's still there.
That's right. Right.
Okay? Physically.
That's right.
Same way with any of us. If you have a living spouse, then you understand what I'm saying. It, the law of marriage and divorce is pretty plain. But we do have grace. Okay? And God had grace. Because he didn't just cast his... Now, she'll never be wife again. You can't take your wife back. Once she's been defiled by somebody else, you can't take her back. Well, he can't take her back as wife, but he takes her back as what? The nation of Israel, the children of God, according to Moses in the Old Testament. Has everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
So Israel is not completely cast out. I mean, man, if I was God, and I heard Israel say, let his blood be on us and our children, that'd be it. I'd never think of them again.
Okay.
Right? That's why I said we never come up with grace. God come up with the word grace. We didn't. No. We don't have grace.
Right.
We have to acquire grace.
Amen.
We have to see grace at work. And we do see it at work with us. Because if I was God, I'd just say, hey, if you're going to do this, you're gone. I'll just find me somebody else. But no, he always had them. They'll be servants. There'll be millions of them and not in the new city, but in the new earth. There'll be millions and millions of Jews. Okay? From the Old Testament. All right. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So he knew his lineage. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Because remember, not all Israel is Israel. Not everybody in the Old Testament is going to be in heaven.
That's right.
That's not an automatic process. God knows their what? Their heart.
That's right.
He knows their heart. And when their heart... Like David, wow, look at grace. I mean, we're fixing to start on the fifth seal. Maybe not Tuesday, but next week. I'm not going to Brother Olte's because I got to work a bunch for the post office, so I'm going to be here next Sunday, but I'm doing Tuesday night too. But when we get in a fifth seal, you're going to see grace given to people that don't want it. Well, my, we didn't want it. We didn't want it, and Israel turned it down.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, you know, grace is what brings them in. And let his blood be on us and our children. Now remember, Brother Brown said God didn't forget that. That's why they've been persecuted now for 2,000 years and during the Gentile time. Look at Israel. Everybody wants to kill Israel. The nation of Israel, everybody wants them out of here. But they sustain because what? They're still God's people.
That's right.
Like Rabbi Rishon said, I can't help it. I'm a Jew. I was born a Jew. I'm God's people. God's the one that told us that we were Jews and we could do this and this and this.
Yeah.
But they're under the Old Testament because they don't believe Christ have done away with, not done away with the law, but magnified it, made it honorable. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Like I said, look at David. Look at grace. Here's David. Now me and you, take the rap sheet. You know what a rap sheet is? Mm-hmm. When somebody commits a crime or a criminal and you go and you pull his rap sheet, it says in 1974 he did this, in 1983... he stole a car in 1980. That's a rap sheet. All right? David's rap sheet, to me, is horrible.
That's right.
Horrible.
That's right.
I mean, he took his best friend. I mean, the guy that wouldn't even go to his wife. He stayed right there at the gate just in case David needed him to go do something.
That's right.
And then David sees his wife on the housetop taking a bath, and he goes and has relations with her. Then he comes and tells... the army, the captain of the army, I wonder what that captain thought about David because he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He said, when the battle's hot, everybody just pull back and leave Uriah out there. Well, man, that's murder. That's premeditated murder. He could get, that was capital murder. He could get the death penalty if he was in this era that we're living in. He'd get the death penalty.
That's right.
But he had a prophet on the scene. He said, David, you're a man after my own heart, God said. And then Nathan comes in and says, David, you'll not die. Well, see, that's why we had to have a prophet come in to tell us the same thing. Because we're all murderers and liars and cheats and thieves and everything else. Maybe not naturally, but spiritually.
Right.
We were that way.
Yeah.
And then we had a prophet come in and announce. See, if we ever see that, there's our body change. Nathan said, David, thou art the man, but you're not going to die. If we take that, we'll see that we're not going to die. So,
all right?
But it's not an automatic process. Would ye not what the scripture says of Elias, or Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Now, this is where we was at the other day. But what saith the answer of God unto him? Here's Elijah saying, Lord, I'm the only one. There's nobody else preaching it like I'm preaching it. But what saith the answer of God? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men that you don't know of, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. What's Paul saying? If you'll remember, I'm reading in the book of Acts, and now I'm telling you, the apostles of Jesus met a group of people that were preaching in the name of Jesus and preaching that Jesus was the Christ, that wasn't a part of their little group.
Right.
Why we don't need to be so groupy. There's other people preaching it. Maybe a very few, but there was a group coming. You know what? What did, who was it? Peter or one of them said, Lord, this is while Jesus was still here. Said, Lord, what do we need to do? He said, don't fight against yourself. Leave them alone, in other words. In other words, then you got somebody like you see in Acts where Agabus comes in. Agabus was a prophet that you don't hear nothing about except a little bit in the book of Acts you hear about Agabus. And he came in and prophesied. But he was a prophet. And he was a prophet of God because the Bible said he was full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
All right, so if sometimes we're so narrow-minded, like Brother Brown said, we're so narrow-minded, we put a lead pencil between our nose and hit both eyes.
Right.
Brother Brown said that. There's a quote. I have it in my house. And if by grace, there's a remnant according to the election of grace, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Now watch, this is, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it not more grace? Otherwise work is no more work. All right, so watch. Because this is the contention that people have with James, that you're saved by your works.
Right.
Okay? Then Paul's saying, if it's anything to do with works, it's no grace.
That's right.
But then Brother Branham, I believe, when he preached wisdom versus faith, and then he preached works is faith expressed. So that's what really Paul's saying. Paul's saying, look, if you see grace, it wasn't something you did.
Right.
But once you get grace, to me it's all that you do. Because if you don't, it's greasy grace. You just keep on, no, you don't keep on doing. Once you see grace, like we're going to talk about in that fifth seal, once you see grace, and you see amazing grace, then you turn from whatever, because what it is, what's grace? Grace is unmerited favor, so you didn't merit anything to get to that position. But once you get to that position, you do have something to do with it. Because
yes.
If you're not, if you keep doing what you're doing, that's greasy grace. That's what we get into with all these people in the message that think they're so revelated that they can do whatever they want to now because, you know, we're in the millennium or we're in the eighth day or... It's just lust of the flesh is what it is. And there is no grace. That's greasy grace. I don't believe in greasy grace, but I do believe in grace. Grace was extended to David. Grace was extended to the Pastor Ramsey, where the Lord took him home. When he went out and started drinking beer, you know, and God took him home, so he didn't march. That was grace.
Right.
That was the grace of God that did that. That's why I said, there is no way man could come up with grace. There's no way, man. You and I are so judgmental, and we're so, yes. We have opinion and non-opinion, and this, we just can't see grace until we come to God.
That's right.
If you come to God, then you see grace. And like I said, it's not, well, it's the grace, we can do whatever we want to. No. Mm-hmm. Grace allows you to make mistakes.
That's right.
But grace doesn't allow you to continue making that same mistake over and over again. Because like the Brother Ramsey, he was continuing to make that mistake, and God just said, all right, that's it, I'm taking you home. Of course, he did Brother Ramsey a favor, right, by taking him on home.
Right.
Could have got worse, you never know. Now, what's Paul trying to say? You got to watch who he's talking to. He's talking to the Romans. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to the people in Jerusalem who have, it's been works since Moses, because they took that as a book of rules, a book of works. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And then Jesus comes along and said, okay, you didn't touch her, but if you lusted after her in your mind, you've committed adultery with her already. You're accused of committing adultery with her already in your heart. And then you say, God, forgive me, and there's grace. But then if you go, because remember, even Paul would walk into a synagogue, and boy, think about Paul walking into a synagogue of people. He was their friends at one time.
Right.
He was back here with the Sanhedrin and back here with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right?
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. Now he's over here.
That's right.
Totally opposite of what he was before.
Right.
And they're over here going, why do we have to listen to you? You were over here one day and you were persecuting. That's why Paul had to spend all this time showing his conversion.
Yes.
Remember, he went to Agrippa and went through the whole conversion. He went through the conversion twice. How that God met him on the road. I read that in the book of Acts. Go back and read the book of Acts. Acts is really a good book.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the Acts of the Apostles.
Right.
And that should be the, we always talk about faith of the fathers. Read the book of Acts.
That's right.
I told the church up there in Kentucky, I said, it's really simple. If you want to know the acts of the Son of Man, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when the Son of Man left, go to the Son of God in Acts and read the book of Acts, and that's how the faith of the Father started. That's the foundation of the Gentile dispensation, of God working, the Son of God working through the church ages. There's your book of Acts. So you got them right there, the Son of Man in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you got the book of Acts, the Son of God starting to work in the people.
Right.
So it's really the faith of the fathers that's working in the people.
Amen.
Because really, watch what happens in Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the story of a life.
Right.
Okay, Jesus and all the disciples. Then you got the book of Acts. It brings all those disciples together. Take Jesus out, so the Son of Man's gone.
That's right.
Listen to this. This will help you. That Son of Man's out.
Right.
Well, the Son of God comes back on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, into believers, and then they start acting like Christians.
Right.
But now you get into Romans and all Corinthians, what it is, it's kind of everybody scattered then. Romans, Paul's writing a letter to this one, Peter's writing a letter to this one, and it's really no more a commentary of how they live, it's talking to someone else.
Yes, right.
He's talking to the Romans. He goes to Corinth and talks to the Corinthians. And the Corinthians didn't get it the first time, so he went back again. That's why you got a 1 Corinthians and a 2 Corinthians. Then you got Timothy and all those ones. Then you got John in the book of Revelations. He's telling something that didn't happen when Jesus was here, and it didn't happen during the first part of the faith of the fathers.
Right.
So if you want to know what the faith of the fathers is, there's your book of Acts. If you want to know what the Son of Man does, read that. But if you want to know how the church was built, read Romans, Corinthians, Timothy, all those is how the church was built up.
That's right.
And that's what Paul's talking about now. If you'll separate that, then you go to the very end of the book of Revelations, and see, that's all future events.
Mm-hmm.
So something coming. You know, something's coming here. Because remember, the church ages, it started back when Paul came, but when Jesus came to John on Patmos, the first church age had just been started. The other church ages hadn't even been started yet.
Right.
They didn't live it out.
Right.
So let's get back to our thought. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Because it's not do's and don'ts. Like I said, it's not a laundry list of the things that you did do or didn't do.
Okay.
Now, grace covers that, but then by your works, you show that grace has come. By your works, you show that grace has come. You don't get grace for a future event.
No.
You get grace for what you did.
Amen.
Are doing.
That's right.
Amen. But then our works, that you go over to the book of James, and then like I said, Brother Brown preached works as faith expressed. Faith is your grace. Because remember, what do you got to have faith in? You got to have faith that God, that grace is all God, not any human.
Amen. That's right.
That grace is of God. So I have to have faith. Because now, listen, honestly, come on. How do we know that God forgets our sins? Oh, yeah, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us a lot of things. But how do we really know God has forgiven you of your past? Because you know what? You still think about it.
All the time.
All the time, right? All the time. We're thinking about it. But that's in your outside realm, that middle realm. That's not in your soul.
That's right.
Because if God resides there, there's no memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination of anything you've done,
that's right,
except be the Word made flesh.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? Amen. So then this part out here to me, and we'll get into it maybe later on after the seal. I want to do a little thing on the spirit realm. But then that's where Satan works, but that's where God works too. They interlock inside there, and that's where the great battle is. But what we got to do is greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, right? So I've got to believe that God don't remember those. I keep saying, God, forgive me for this, and he's like, what are you talking about? And you know what? He's honest when he says that. He don't know those past sins. Why? Because he's in that inside man. He is that inside man. He ain't in the inside man. Boy, you ought to see the people in Kentucky, when I told them that most people in this message were tunists. But they agreed once I gave them the analogy of, well, Jesus is over here and I'm over here, that he's going to do this and I can't do that. Well, we're heirs and joint heirs, so I think we're going to start have to believe that if he's in us, he can do anything he did while he was standing here on earth,
right,
plus
that's right,
create worlds and everything else.
That's right.
All right?
Brother Wade. Mm-hmm. Just want to throw this in. I think also the fact that because it's the one in you that caused you to repent,
correct,
from that,
correct,
gives you the assurance that God, you know, God is like, I don't see it. Okay. Because it was him through me, you know, that
correct.
So I just thought
right
of that.
Sure. But it burns all that out. See, that's why we gotta believe.
That's right.
We gotta have faith.
That's right.
That what's inside of us,
exactly,
is perfect.
Amen. Right.
Right.
It don't need grace.
That's right.
It is grace.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
It don't need grace. You don't need grace for your soul.
No, you don't.
Jesus didn't need grace.
No, he didn't.
Right?
That's right.
So if we get what he gets,
that's right,
he didn't need grace. Why? Because he's God Almighty, body, spirit, and soul.
That's right.
But grace comes to us through our memories and conscience, affection, and imagination, and helps us.
Well, because at one point
in this fall,
yeah, at one point you would have done the same thing back in the world, and you wouldn't have not felt anything to go ahead and ask
God
for forgiveness.
Right.
But then all of a sudden that comes in, you know that's God then.
Well, like Brother Brown said, there's your tie post. You go back to that tie post, you put that tie post down, and you say, hey, Satan, right here, I gave this thing up. You bring it back all you want to. But right here is where my tie post is.
Okay.
Right? So it's not by works then. It's by grace. But your works is your faith expressed.
Right.
I live it, like Brother Luis is saying, I live it because I see how awesome grace is.
Right.
That he has forgiven me of everything. And I see the awesomeness that God's trying to tell us even now, who we are, not what we're coming to, but who we are already. Because that makes the two-ness. We're doing this. We're separating and saying, well, Jesus is here and we're here. No, he's right here. He's the same person.
Right.
I always thought two-ness was God and Jesus being two different people in there.
That's right. But see, that's out there. Denominations see that.
Right.
In the message.
Right.
We know that's not right.
Right.
That's the deception. We know that's not right, but we still think we're... that's two-ness in the message. I'm not saying two-ness out there. If you're caught by two-ness out there, you need a new birth.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about in the message. We have come to this thinking is that Jesus is doing this and we're doing this.
No.
No, it's well, may I say message two-ness?
Yeah.
Because we know better than the Trinity.
Yeah. right.
We know better than being a oneness, which is one like your finger, because you know what? If you're a oneness, then we're counted out.
That's right.
Because the bride is the last form of God.
Amen.
They say Jesus is the last form of God. That's really your oneness doctrine, is Jesus was it, and we're nothing else. But, well, by me being on this earth, I've busted that theory out, and then we don't believe that we got three of them standing up there. So, where do you come back to? You come back to in the message that we really are feeling that we've not come to a place to where we've met God yet or met Jesus yet, because that's what I told him up in Kentucky. I'll tell you too. Two words will kill you. But I. Preacher will say something and you'll come to a place and then in your mind you'll go, but I. What? You're fixing to give a circumstance. But I. But I what? God don't have a but I. You understand what I mean? We go, but I. You know, you try to continue what God's put a period in. Said, look, you're the chosen of God. You're here. You're commissioned to take a body change. And you know what? It's all of grace.
Okay,
that's right.
I can't work myself into a body change. But if I see enough grace for the middleman, because that's where you need grace. You don't need grace for your flesh. Yeah. Your flesh was trapped. I've been getting some of those quotes together where Brother Ramsey, we were trapped into it. We were trapped in this.
Mm-hmm.
We came because of the sin between Adam and Eve and the beast and all those things that went on. This was our trap.
Yes.
Then he comes. Like I said before, my favorite quote, Jesus did not come to bring you your inheritance. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
I read that to them too. I gave them a lot to think about up there in Kentucky, but I read the quote where Brother Ramsey said, Jesus didn't bring you your inheritance. Your inheritance was before the foundation of the world,
mm-hmm.
back up there in the mind of God, creating the world, that Genesis 1:26 man.
Amen.
If you had a beginning, you're going to have an end.
Amen.
All right? So we come to a place to where we always was eternal.
Yes, sir.
That part that's inside of me. Mm-hmm. But then we got to work on the next guy. The next guy's who we got to work on, not this guy,
right.
And not the middle guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
You work on that middle man, that memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, and we got to go. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So Israel was blinded. According to it was written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Unto this day, what Paul's talking about, up to this day. All right, so we'll stop right there and we'll continue. Like I said, we'll continue next Sunday, Lord willing.